Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Yo, guys, welcome back to the Leverage Podcast. We've got a returning guest who's been on the show, I think, two, three, maybe four times. St. Robert Daygame.
Twice.
All right, this is the third. Welcome back, man.
Glad to be back.
We're going to be talking about frame control today. It's kind of like mind control or brain control from that movie Dinner with Schmucks, but actually nothing like that at all. It's about, I mean, self kind of described, dealing with who's kind of leading on dates and in social interactions, seductions. And St. Robert's got a huge breadth of knowledge when it comes to dating women from all over the world. He's been all over this year. I know he was down in South America, Eastern Europe. I think now he's somewhere in Scandinavia. So I've also been all over the world this year too. The war in Ukraine, you know, forced me out of my home. So I spent 4 months down in Turkey, and I was with my executive coach, and he was doing a ton of day game and dating there. And then we were hanging out in Berlin, also in Budapest, and now I'm back in the U.S. So we're going to talk about this subject as it relates to women all over the world and different cultures. So, St. Robert, let's kick it off. Where do you want to start?
Maybe like 30 seconds intro for the guys who see me for the first time. I'm St. Robert, and I've been coaching about day game and dating to guys from literally all over the world, from New York City, from New York City, Hong Kong, I don't know, Australia, all over Europe, UK, kind of, you name it. And I've been living nomadically for almost 3 years now, kind of living a few months in one city, a few months in another city. And I've been on this podcast twice before. I think we covered frame control a little bit in one of the podcasts, but I'm not really sure. Maybe let's start it off for maybe if there's someone who is maybe newer to the industry that we are in, maybe let's kind of define what is frame control in just two sentences. It's when you are talking to a girl, things can go your way, the way you want them to go, or things can go the girl's way, the way she wants everything to go. And it's kind of like, who is taking the lead, who is in control in a good sense of this communication, whether that's on a street or anywhere else, or in some cases online maybe, or that's on a date, or when you're back at your place, etc. And I think we have to talk about why frame control is so important, because some guys are ending up in situations where girls are actually trying to get things out of them. And this is where actually frame control comes into play. And that's gonna, there are several reasons why frame control is, I would say, one of the most important things in the whole thing of dating. If we put frame control in the same box as leading, then that is, in my opinion, one of the most important things you can do. Because whether that's just approaching, that's leading, or pulling a girl home, that's leading, or everything else. And there are three reasons that I want to cover why frame control is important. And of course, typical, especially when we have terms like frame tests, you have to talk about girls that will see how much they can get away with. Mm-hmm. They will show up on a date, they will be super princessy, they will kind of try, okay, can I get this from this guy? Can I get that from this guy? Can I get this guy to come over to my place and fix my shelf someday, even though I haven't ever slept with him? Or maybe I can get him to pick me up and take me somewhere with a car, because like taxi is expensive, or can I get a dinner from him? And they're just going to see what they can get away with, and It is sort of like a test. So that's one thing you have to learn to deal with those tests. These tests are not typical at all in Western Europe or in USA. This is very, very specifically for places in Eastern Europe. So we're talking about especially Russian girls, Ukrainian girls, countries where a big majority of people are speaking Russian. I don't know why that's the case, because For example, in Eastern Europe, in places like Poland or Latvia, like in the Baltic states, you don't see this as often, but in Ukraine, it was very, very, very noticeable. Like I never saw anyone control as much frame as girls in Ukraine. And this applies more to actually girls from those countries that live abroad. I don't know why I've noticed this behavior more when they are traveling, when they are living abroad, than more than when you meet them on their kind of home turf. So if you deal with this test that she's putting up, she will give up the frame. She will start following you. She will become a nice little puppy. They try to hold the frame in the beginning, but as soon as they see, okay, this guy actually has a spine, he can say no to things, he has frame, they are rolling over like little puppies and they're letting you scratch their belly or do whatever the, whatever else you want to do with them. So that's number one. Number two, we have to understand that men and women sometimes want different things. And girls want many different things. So a girl might want a boyfriend. She might want a friend, you know, we all know friend zone. She might want money from a guy. She might want someone who takes her out for dinner, someone who is taking her somewhere by a car. I have this hilarious story of how I was on a date with a girl, and then after the date, her boyfriend picked her up with a car.
You gotta tell it.
No, it's like, this is the whole story, basically.
That's the whole story. But I mean, I know did a story. She know? Did he know that he was picking her up after seeing you?
Yeah. Okay. You know, but nothing really happened on the date, so it was like nothing crazy. I've had cases where a girl. I knew that she was going on dates with other dudes, but like I don't know how fine the guy was with it. It seemed like she was kind of on top of things and controlling things. And I was
I used to bang a girl, you know, very regularly, and her husband used to pick her up from my place. And, you know, he'd request, you know, videos of us banging. And I mean, it was, I never met him, but it was like a whole thing. It turned him on. So it was.
Yeah. I mean, there are guys who like that. I like, you know, I'm not judging. I'm kind of like a very open-minded person. Like you do you, not right. My thing. And yeah, but one story that I remember was when I had a girl at my place, and it was in Riga, Latvia, but she wasn't from Riga, she was from another city, and she had to take the last bus to get home. So what she was doing, because the last bus was approaching, what she was doing, she was calling all the dudes from that little town to find someone who can pick her up with a car just a few hours later if she goes with a bus to another city that's close by, but she has a few extra hours to spend with me. I've seen that firsthand, and I know a girl who I was seeing, I interviewed her in my podcast, Sugar Baby from Latvia, like a proper traveling the world, like crazy, like she had crazy stories. That's just unbelievable. She had a case where a guy picked her up with a car from an orgy. So girls want very different things. Yeah, boyfriends, friends, money, someone who helps her by, I don't know, picking her up with a car, someone who helps her put up that new IKEA cabinet she bought, yeah, because she can't do that by herself. And don't get me wrong. Well, you're not getting this wrong, but some listeners might. Like, there is nothing wrong with going out for dinners with your girl or helping her out with the cabinet or taking her somewhere with a car or everything else. I mean, after you've had sex. First things first. I mean, you're right. Going out with your girl for dinners and to nice restaurants and whatnot, and you're helping her, and I'm doing the same things with my girl, but first things first. And I can already hear someone saying, but I don't just want to sleep with girls, I'm looking for a girlfriend. Yes, but it's important to develop a skill of meeting many girls. Even if someone is looking for something more serious and they listen to this and they're like, well, like sex isn't sex isn't the first priority. Well, yes and no, because if a guy doesn't know how to attract high quality women, if he doesn't know how to make himself attractive to those women, what happens is he gets a better girl, a higher quality girl than he's used to, and now he's in a relationship with her, and at some point, we all been there, she will start to see what can she get away with.
Yep.
And if a guy is afraid to lose that girl, and he will be afraid to lose the girl because she's way better quality than
he's used to. Yeah,
so he knows if I lose this girl, I go back to what I had before, and he does not want to do that. You talk to guys in their 40s, maybe mid to late 40s, yeah? These guys, when they meet a 25-year-old, if they lose that 25-year-old, if they don't have game, they're going back to maybe girls in their late 30s. And there's a very big difference, yeah? I 25, hot, beautiful, all is fine, especially if you're like mid-30s or older. So yes, even if a guy is looking for a relationship, it's still very important to kind of know how these things work, to kind of have your, get your, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 lays, and then, okay, like, you know that if you lose this quality girl, you can get another one, and you simply choose the best girl from all the girls you've met. You say, okay, this is actually really, she's really an amazing girl, not just in bed, but also she's like a wife material or however you want to call it. And I'm going to build a relationship with her. But now he's not afraid to lose her, so he's going to know how to handle all of these situations, and she is going to respect that guy because he knows how to handle those situations.
Yeah. I want to add something, because this is so important, because I hear this too from guys all the time. Oh, I just want a girlfriend. And most guys who are saying that are usually in a place of scarcity, and just having a girlfriend is better than having nothing and not getting laid. And if they do a little bit of this work and they improve their ability to attract women, they might get that girlfriend. But then that is almost always going to end in a disaster because of what you just said, because they feel like if they lose her, they're going to lose everything, which kills the attraction for her, which has her start to pull away. She starts investing less. They get upset. They start investing more. And then you end up in a horrible situation of one-itis, or a guy who just can't get over a girl. He's devastated. And if you just develop your skills to attract women much further beyond the ability to just attract one girl and get lucky, then you're never going to be in this place of scarcity again. You might get rusty after a relationship, but you can get back there very quickly. And it's always those guys who are like, I just want a girlfriend. You know, they'll come, they'll do a program with me, they'll get the girlfriend, and then 2 years later, they'll be like, I can't get over this girl. I'm broken. I've gone through, you know, thousands of dollars in therapy, or worse, they get divorced and the wife takes everything. So don't be that guy. Like, develop these skills to the point where you're not worried about losing whichever girl. Because if you're ever worried about losing your girl, you're probably going to lose a girl.
Or you're going to lose everything else, but not the
girl.
Or
worse.
Like,
or worse,
you're going to
yeah.
be the dude picking her up from orgies.
Right.
So what the conclusion we have come to is that the second reason why frame control is important, that men and women want different things. Women can want all of these things, like a friend, boyfriend, money, or of course also a guy to just have fun with. And men, first of all, we want sex. And then if we meet the right person, that develops in something more. But of course, you have to know what you want, and if you hear things like, oh, I'm going out with my friends, join us, which is like you get a number from a girl and she texts you, oh, and we're going out clubbing, join us, that's friend zone. Let's go out for a coffee in a lunch break, that's friend zone. No, you probably, like, guys listening to this, they probably have a decent understanding of how to go from meeting a girl to going home with a girl, at least a basic level. You go on a date, you go one bar, you go to the second bar, you pull her to your place. If it doesn't happen on a first date, you go out on a second date where you will do one bar, and from that bar you will pull to your place. If it doesn't happen on a second date, you have the option for the third date, but the third date always happens at my place, or at whoever is taking out the girl on a date. Like, and if she doesn't want to come to your place on a third date, that's fine.
Have you ever heard of adding the dummy venue into that equation.
In what is that?
The dummy venue is the third venue before you pull back to your place. Because you're saying about, you know, two and then back to your place. I always tell my guys to add in a fake sort of third dummy venue. Like, for example, what I would always do, if I met a girl at a nightclub, for example, I would always try to kind of do like a mini venue within the nightclub. But then before pulling her back to my place, I'd add a fake venue and I'd take her to a nightclub that was actually closed before taking her back to my place, because she thinks, oh, this guy's going to try to take me home. But if I take her to a nightclub that's closed and I'm like, oh, fuck, this place is closed, well, I've got some cocktails at my place, then it's like all of those defense mechanisms are down. So I'll do the same thing on dates. And when I feel like, oh, she's ready to go home, I'm like, all right, let's make one more stop at, like, it doesn't matter, it could be anything. But it just kind of counter-defends against their built-in defenses and everyone has a better time. So that's what I always talk about in
very
the dating protocol.
you should
very experiment with the dummy venue.
I've never heard this, but
they don't
actually
see it coming.
What I've started doing in very cheap countries, I actually started doing more than two venues.
Yeah. I think you can do three or four, why not? You know?
In cheap places, I'll do three venues quite often, just because, you know, if I like the girl, I maybe actually want to spend some time with her and get to know her, and just, but I'll still try to pull. So, and the moral of the story is if guys know what they want, and they should focus in the beginning on sex, but girl is kind of moving away from that all the time, is not coming over to their place on a third date, then it's better to lose the girl than to lose a frame. And that's a rule I always tell my students: lose the girl, don't lose the frame. It's just like in one of your I saw your TikTok account today, and and you had this hilarious video how important is money, and there was this young dude who was like just all over the place. Oh, when my DJ set drops on Spotify, we're gonna have so much money, you can move out of your basement. And then you show this yourself in a suit as a successful guy, and you say, if you don't have game, this will happen. And it's clearly a girl just trying to get out money out of this guy. So that's what you're risking if you don't understand that girls want to have different things, that you're not willing to give up the girl. And this brings us to the third reason why frame control is very important. It's important. So frame control in cases where a girl is trying to get money, gifts, dinner, etc. from you means just protecting yourself and understanding that you're not really willing to take her to that expensive restaurant and you're going to say no, you're going to draw the line, and that's it. So these are the three good reasons why it's very important to learn to frame control and to know how to do that. But this brings us to the next thing, which has become more and more apparent in the last years, is frame control has become this kind of toxic thing. You could call this toxic frame control. And that is because there is a lot of red pill content out there talking about how many girls are trying to put you in a friend zone and trying to get drinks and money and gifts from you and just trying to get you. And also there is a lot of content explaining how the dating world really works, like teaching, okay, people are cheating, people are mate poaching, etc., like things that David Buss talks about on his book, Evolution of Desire, I think, or things that are very well widely discussed on Sperm Wars. And of course you have guys preaching, you have Rolo and other kind of red pill renegades who I absolutely despise. They're making it seem like this big deal that's happening all the time. Like girls are out trying to get you and they will cheat on you. They will upgrade to a better man a few years from now. They will try to get money you and they will get half of what you own if you get divorced. Well, okay, that's real. Like protect yourself, get a prenup, own a company in like offshores that owns everything you own. That's a different conversation. But when you learn how the dating world really, really works, it seems like this is this bad thing. Like there's all these bad risks, all these things that could happen. Everyone is cheating. Everyone is after you. And if a guy doesn't know what to do about it, if he doesn't know how to kind of capitalize on this knowledge of how the dating world really works, what is happening, he's starting to feel bitter towards women. He's starting to hate women. And he's kind of paranoid that she's trying to control the frame. She's trying to snatch the frame. She's trying to win. But that is only because guys have been listening to too much theory and too much red pill stuff. They haven't learned it to the actual things they have to do to get girl to get good with girls. And
if they're not approaching girls, they're not going on dates, and they're not having their own experience. They're just listening to shit.
They're like theorizing in the chat, and we have this rule in our group chat that if we see that someone is asking like theory questions, we just like, how many sets did you do this week? If it's nothing, then, like we're not even discussing all of this, like. Like, right. Red pill doesn't exist in our group chat. We have very, very, very strict rules about it. Strictly technical, strictly about this is what happened, this how do I do, what do I do on this date, what do I do in this text, what do I do in this conversation, because it's too much of this stuff online. So, if they learn to meet girls they actually like, if they understand what makes them attractive to girls, well, all of a sudden, magical things start happening. Then they become the guys that some girls are cheating with on their whatever boyfriends, husbands. They become the guys. Like I've heard a bunch of stories of a day gamer, let's say, opening a girl. She's waiting for her Tinder date, and she just goes on a night date with this guy and has and sleeps with him on the same day. Just doesn't even go on a Tinder date and so if people learn about the risks of frame control and how the dating world actually works, and they learn what to do, amazing. But if they don't, then we kind of end up in this place where everyone is kind of scared to lose the frame, that she's definitely trying to get me. Like, let's say a guy would post in a chat the screenshots of texts like, let's meet 30 minutes later, I'm still at work. Or girl says, sorry, I can't meet today, let's do tomorrow or Friday. Or a girl says to a date request, hey, I don't drink, when he offers to go for drinks. And they say, they instantly will post this screenshot and they'll say, although this girl is trying to snatch the frame, she's trying to control everything. What? Maybe the girl is actually stuck at work because she actually has work. We live in a westernized world where women are, thank God, also working. They have human rights and everything else. It's like I'm pro all of that stuff. It's amazing. So maybe she's actually working and she's actually busy, not trying to, like, maybe she actually can't make today because her cat fucking is sick, or she has to, I don't know, help her grandma, or of course, maybe you fucked up in texting and she's saying, oh, I can't today, let's do another day, and I'll let you know. That's a different conversation. We're talking about a case where a girl says, I can't today, let's meet tomorrow or Friday. That is not a situation of frame control, but I see all the time guys posting this stuff and then saying, like, and then showing how they insisted, no, let's meet now, not 30 minutes later, like, and they go completely berserk. It's unbelievable. And of course, they fuck up that lead. Because, yes, there are some cases where that girl will come out. But in most cases, they'll just fuck up those leads. Girls are... There's this big understanding that girls are nice. Yeah. They're not trying to snatch the frame.
I think the distinction there, what you just said, is important. That if she... You know, if she flakes, or quote-unquote flakes, and she's... provides an alternative time, that's not flaking, that's a genuine reschedule. If a girl just says, hey, I can't make it, and just drops it, that's a real flake. But what you're talking about is not a frame control thing at all. That's a genuine right, and guys don't know the difference, and that's where you get in trouble.
Yes, but the challenge starts when these are the small things that maybe guys who are getting into this kind of starting to learn maybe something about day game or night game or anything dating related. And those are things that people learn slowly, and they maybe don't know them for the first few months, for the first 6 months. And slowly as they pick up more and more stuff, they obviously learn about it, and that's a whole different topic. But yes, in the beginning, they just don't know the difference, and that's how they end up in these situations. And
just hyper aware of it, like you said. Too paranoid.
Yes,
she's controlling the frame. Blah, blah, blah. It's paranoia,
yes,
I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there is so much information about that. It's like they've read that. They've all read Rollo's book, and now they think, aha, everyone's trying to get me, because that book is so popular. But I recently made a video about, like, the 9 best PUA books or something like that on my YouTube channel, and I started the video with, hey guys, first let's talk about one really, really shitty book that you shouldn't read.
The Rational Male?
yeah, because I just put it as number one, and all the hate comments were about, no, that's a great book, and I didn't even bother asking, like, how many day game lists do you have, because I know those answers.
You know,
like, so
I have an interesting sort of love-hate relationship with that stuff, because I read Rational Male kind of at the right time after I had gone through, I mean, this is, I have thousands and thousands of approaches, and I was dealing with, like, boat girls, which are these models, and I was doing the Playboy trips, and so, like, some of the things in that book, some of the distinctions were super helpful to me at an insanely advanced level. However, to a new guy, exactly, this is so hardcore, so anti-woman, so this, so that. So what I usually do is, if a guy's like, oh, I'm interested in that stuff, should I read it? I say, all right, you can read it, but before you read it, read Mate by Tucker Max, read Models by Mark Manson, read these other books first that teach you some of the same concepts without fucking destroying women and making them all out to be gold-digging, what do they call it, Safa? What's the word he uses?
I don't remember. I read it years ago.
Basically, they're all trying to get you, right? And I'm like, and then you can have more of a healthy conversation about it. But yeah, guys who just get into this community and then they go hardcore red pill, they all end up in a really bad spot of paranoia, as you're talking about.
Yeah, just to clarify, a lot of the information on that book is actually very good. That my problem with it was that I read that book after I had read Sperm Wars and Richard Dawkins and all of these other books, and then I read The Rational Male, and I saw, oh, all of this stuff was in these other books, but there was no credit given, and it felt that the only thing new in that book was this red pill and a hate towards women attitude. Everything else was like, it's a good book if you kind of can filter out that negativity towards women, I think.
That's going to be a challenge for most guys. So yeah.
Exactly. That's why my favorite book on these topics is Sperm Wars, actually. It's an amazing book. It's have you read it?
I have not. It's always kind of been on my list of, I know some of the main concepts of it. Especially how, like, the a lot of the battle for the alphaness, like, happens inside the pussy, you know, when sperm are literally fighting it out. So that was super interesting, but I probably should read it at some point.
I think it's for guys who are getting into this industry, it's a very, very interesting read, because it's written in a very entertaining way. There is this one story, kind of like interesting story from life, or like imaginary story. But then there is a scientific explanation why that happened. There's a story of a girl cheating on her husband, and then there is this scientific explanation why that happens. There is a story of a girl participating in an orgy, and then there is a scientific explanation why would a girl participate in an orgy. And it's just a very entertaining read. But anyways, what I wanted to kind of separate is healthy leading from toxic frame control, from all the stuff that, everything that we talked about, most of it is toxic frame control, just being overly obsessed with being kinda in control. Whereas leading is simply knowing your goal, knowing your steps, how to get there, like having that structured, okay, I go on when you want, I do this in this part of the interaction with the girl, next part of the interaction is this, next is this, and then I pull her home, and then I do this, and I wave a magic wand, and boom, she's naked, and everything happens, yeah? Guys simply have to know their goal, so and know how to get there, and then lead. Don't end up in a friend zone. Don't help her put up that new cabinet she needs to put up. Don't take her out for dinner. Always try to pull on a second date, even if you succeeded on the first one. My rule is always pull on a second date. Like, you have to try, even if you know it's gonna fail. You still have to follow these rules, but in most cases, no one is really trying to snatch your frame. In most cases. And now we come to the next topic. Some girls will want to have the frame.
Yes.
there are girls that will actually try to snatch your frame. I know that guys are going to say in the comments, you guys were wrong, and then this happens. Yes. So I wanted to kind of cover it slightly. And of course, if a guy is trying to hold the frame and the girl is fighting, if you're trying to hold the frame and the girls are fighting the too much, like they're trying to keep their frame too strongly, they want to pick when and where you meet, and they're very kind of strict about it. They want to pick all the venues. They are very strict with whom they're very strict when they're going to come over to your place. That's fine. These girls just aren't for you. There are girls who are going to be like that. They're going to be, especially, I noticed this in Ukraine. In Ukraine, I had to learn to filter on the dates. I went on a date. I very strongly kept my frame. And if I saw that, because in Ukraine, some girls have very strong frame just because they are very business-oriented, very smart, very driven, and that has kind of taught them to be extremely controlling. And if I notice they are too controlling, I kind of realized, okay, this is not going to happen. I did one venue, and I went home. And in some places, you have to really learn to filter out. And depending on the country where you are, these things will happen. In some places more, in some places less. But do you know what else this depends on? Like, will she try to control? Will she try to get a dinner out of you? It also depends on the guy's game.
Yeah, if she feels like she can, if you're a sucker.
Yeah,
she knows
not even like with, yes, and almost all the cases that I've heard from guys in my community or online or from students about guys ending up in bad situations, it's because guys made some big mistakes in the way they were communicating with the girl. They were flashing cash, they were wearing something too fancy, they picked venues that were too fancy, they didn't lead enough. Maybe I would say 1 out of 10 cases I've heard and seen in my experience was because girl was trying to really, really snatch or control the frame. 9 times out of 10, it was something that the guys were doing wrong. They simply lacked a technical step-by-step knowledge on how to lead forward. Because, well, you know me, I'm an extremely technical guy in the way I teach, and also you are also teaching your guys, do this, then do this, then do this, and this is how it happens. They know all the steps, and if they follow those steps the right way, usually everything is fine. When they fuck up, that's when they run into all these things. But in general, I just want to say that girls are nice. If they say they're going to be late, maybe they really can't make it earlier. They're working or getting ready for the date, which was the case in Ukraine. They were always late, but they showed up. They look wonderful. Or and another thing, if you live in a shitty part of town, of city, and they don't want to come over to your neighborhood for the date, which is what you're suggesting, like, not you, of course, I'm just using the word you for the
royal
listeners.
You.
Because I I've heard these stories about New York City, about Kiev, and many different places. If you live in a shitty part of town, and she doesn't want to come over for a date to your place, you fucked up your logistics.
You should know that you live in a shitty part of town.
Yes.
And you shouldn't recommend that. She shouldn't know you live in that part of town until she's on your way to your place and in a taxi, and she doesn't really care. Or that you need to call that out, you know, on like the second or third venue and, you know, say, hey, it's not in the best part of town, but it's the up and coming anyways, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to chime in about let's say specifically you meet a girl day gaming and everything's going well. You know, you tell her, let's grab drinks, and she says, great, I know this awesome place. Let's go here. Right? Because this is a common scenario that I see my clients running into. And if she's a local and you're not, for example, right? Or even if you're both, even if you're a local too, right? Like, let's say you're living in Kiev and she's from Kiev and you say, hey, let's grab drinks. And she, right off the bat, suggests a place. My clients are like, well, should I counter that? And because I don't want her to steal the frame. I'm like, what I usually tell them is let them pick the first venue. It's cool, but you need to pick the second venue. And if you then get into like this little turf war about it, you know, you're going to have to adjust on the fly. But in most scenarios, you can kind of like strong arm that second venue if she likes you, right? If she's not going to follow you to that second venue, now you're probably in trouble, but that's rarely going to happen. But if you immediately create friction, you're like, no, I don't want to go here. Let's go there. Odds are you're going to screw that whole thing up. And if you get the date, it's going to be starting off on a bad tone of this kind of unhealthy push-pull or friction. So that's kind of what I advise my clients in that situation. I'm curious if you agree or you have any thoughts to add. It's very case-by-case, of course.
I did have this point written down in at the end. I wanted to talk about like in the warning points. Mm-hmm. Things that you should always pay attention to, especially outside of Western world, outside of kind of EU and outside of US or Canada or kind of the more developed places in Asia, there's always a risk of running into professionals. And in Riga, we have places where you have girls standing outside looking nice, smoking. You walk up to them. They're like, oh, we have a table. We're going to a place with a girl. We have a friend. We have a book table. Join us. All those places are scam bars.
Oh, yeah.
So I would really carefully look at which part of the world I am. I would personally be extremely careful. I would not agree if I was in kind of Eastern Europe. I would not agree to this if I was in Latin America. Maybe like in Western Europe or US or Canada, I think it's maybe a little bit better, but I wouldn't kind of say, oh my God, I totally disagree, but I would kind
of... Yeah, you're right. It's really going to... You got to know which bars are kind of scam bars, which is a good point. Like, I know every scam bar in Kiev. So when guys say, yes, oh, she wants to take me to Avalon, I'm like, that's a scam bar. You're going to get stuck with a $100 tab, and she's going to get 25% of that, and she has no interest in you. That's how she's making money for the day. These are professional daters on
exactly.
Tinder. You know, I've interviewed one of those girls on the podcast. So that you gotta do some homework.
I've
and
done
that
the same, yeah.
You
also
interviewed,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in those parts of the world. So it's I wouldn't risk it, but what I do is I do let girls. Let's move to kind of. This is something I noticed, especially in Ukraine, and then I kind of really started paying attention to this topic that we're talking about now in Argentina. And what I noticed is a lot of girls wanted to show me some really cool bars. They say, "Hey, I know this bar," and then. Let's go there. And in the beginning, it was like, is she taking me to a sketchy place? What's happening here? Like, I couldn't figure it out. But then it clicked. They are being super nice. They're showing me places I don't know about. They're taking care of me. That's a very big investment from her side. And so I think it's actually a very good idea. But what I did in Ukraine and in Argentina, I also tested this in Bogota, Colombia. I stuck to picking the first venue, and then I let, if they suggested going to some other bar as a second venue, I let them do that. Because in most cases, there was actually an investment from their side, and they were... That's how I actually found out about the best restaurants in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, and the best bars, because in Buenos Aires, I would say like 9 out of 10 restaurants are complete trash. And that 1 out of 10 is incredible. And I only found out about the good ones because girls were showing me these places when I started dating them, or about the best bars for dates I actually learned when I went on my first dates, and just girls like, hey, I'm going to show you this bar. I was like, boom, we end up in this amazing bar. So, So in general,
so
yes,
you would choose you'd let them choose the second.
Yes. Yeah. If they offer, I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, mm-hmm. and because the idea is that I get to know her and I will probably understand if she's trying to scam me.
Right. You're going to understand on the first venue.
Sorry?
You're going to understand by the end of the first venue,
well,
for sure.
We'll come to this a little bit later, but in general, yeah, I'm going to understand on the first venue. So there are basically four very simple questions a guy can ask about frame control in general and also about kind of these situations. The question number one would be, am I safe? Like, is this what we're doing safe? Are we in a safe part of the city? Do I understand that everything is safe, everything is okay? If no, control the frame, control all the variables, don't give up the frame in any case. If you feel safe, you can move on to the second question. Am I moving towards the friend zone? in any way, is this what she's suggesting? Does this move me closer to the friend zone? If yes, control the frame. If not, you're fine. Number three, this is what we were just talking about. Do I know her enough to trust her? Have I gotten to know her well enough to trust her? And if no, control the frame, control all the variables. If yes, if you trust her, let her lead the way. And on the question number four, also, if you guys can ask, is she actually trying to invest and being nice and honest? Like, is this the possibility that what she's doing right now is actually a way of her... being nice? And if it's like a, you don't really know, because if a guy doesn't really understand this, he's like, maybe not, I would say go for it. You will learn about your mistakes later. The worst case scenario, like, I don't know, you end up in like some stupid bar and you realize it's super expensive, you get up and you leave and that's it. But I kind of thought about some warning points, because this topic is very, very tricky, because we kind of started to see in this conversation how tricky it is, because you can end up in situations where girls take you to scam bars, where they are trying to get something out of you. So even though most girls are nice, there are some real warning points guys have to think. And the most basic of them, if you are wearing a Rolex or flashing cash or going to expensive bars, you are sending the right signals, you are much more at risk. Also, another warning point, online dating outside of Western Europe is very risky. If you are in Medellin and a girl is saying, oh, I'm bored at home, come over to my place, you're probably getting robbed.
Yeah.
If she's coming straight over to your place, hide your shit. Have someone else. Like, it's better in Medellin to have roommates, actually. Have someone else in the apartment. Like, just... Because that's what I did in Medellin. Like, I did a little bit of online in Medellin, and I would just... All the girls would come to my place, and I had only one case where a girl showed up, and then I found out she's a professional and just politely sent her home. So if you are outside of Western world, even if you think you can trust her, don't leave the safest parts, most touristic parts of town. Because... girls who are doing this professionally, just as good seducers have very, very good game, those girls, they have incredible game. Like, they know what they're doing, like, to a very, very high level. They're professionals. And this brings us to the fact that if a guy has less than 20 day game lays outside of online, we're talking night game, day game, things like that, cold approach. If a guy has less than, I would say, 20 cold approach lays, and a girl is suggesting a bar as the first, second, third, whichever venue, doesn't matter, he should check the reviews of that bar. Scam bars have in their reviews written that I got ripped off. It's all in the reviews. If a guy doesn't have enough experience, he should always check those reviews simply to be kind of... Basically, their gut feeling isn't developed well enough yet, because girls will go out on a date with B and they say, oh my god, we just met, but I feel like I know you and I trust you so much, this is so crazy, I never do this. Well, and a guy might think the same, and wake up without kidneys or
and one thing about the reviews that I find really important and interesting is you should be very careful of the reviews from women versus from men, because a lot of the best bars and lounges will have very strict doors. And you'll get a shitload of reviews that are like, this place is fucking bullshit, this place sucks. That's from losers who couldn't get in. And yes, a lot of the time it's from ugly girls who got face controlled. If a review is from a girl and saying this place sucks and blah, 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 and the people are assholes, it's usually a good place because they didn't let her in, right? But if the place has a bunch of reviews saying, like, this place is a ripoff, this is a scam, and they're from dudes, now you got to be careful. So just a quick word on reviews and what's
real,
what's not.
Yeah, I think that is, yeah, reviews in general is, like, that's what I did in, actually, Prague. Even when I was going to a restaurant, I would check the reviews, because Prague is just a place where they will scam you at a restaurant, even if you're going there solo. It's just, like, something in small print that you didn't know, and just...
So many tourists in Prague, so...
Yes.
And opportunity.
So, yeah, it's just so full of tourist traps, but I wanted to kind of... Let's just say the last thing I wanted to talk about was I wanted to put the guy's mind at ease by telling the most important thing about gold diggers, professionals, whatever type of professionals they are, that the guys, you have to understand that they actually are professionals and they don't waste time. They are filtering hard for guys that are very easy marks. There are guys, if you are even remotely aware of what's happening, like, that stuff is not going to happen to you. But if you are an easy target, they really know, they can recognize you from far away. They know how to deal with that. And you will end up with, if you end up on a date with a gold digger or a professional of any sort, you send the wrong signals. I think but you know more about this because you said you wanted to talk a bit about seeking.
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of your students kind of exploring that part of the internet.
Well, I've been, for whatever reason, maybe it's because I just turned 40 or I'm getting older, I've had a lot of clients sign up who are in their 50s, even a couple in their early 60s, who are successful guys, who are, you know, experienced in day game, but they're also dabbling in seeking, which for them, you know, online dating for a guy, obviously online dating for anyone, in my opinion, sucks. It's the worst platform there is. But if you're not bad looking and you have some money and you know how to navigate seeking, at least the quality in terms of looks is going to be, I mean, it's insane. Like, it's 10x what you're going to find on Tinder or Hinge or any of these other places. But, of course, you're dealing with, like, these are admittedly sugar babies. There's not a girl on the site who's not at some level gold digging. Like, that's just what a sugar baby does, right? She exchanges sugar or she gets sugar. So the rule of thumb is if you're going to use one of these sites, don't go on dates with girls who have been on the site for more than, like, 2 weeks or a month. Because what that means is they're experienced and they're going to crush you. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. These girls have way more experience because they can go on two or three dates a week. They can go on a date every night if they want to. And just the pure amount of reps compared to what you're doing, they've got you beat. And they are going to exploit that, right? And it's literally a battle of frames to see who can get what out of the relationship. And it's this exchange of sex for cash, basically. But if you do find a girl who's been on the site for less than 2 weeks and she's just kind of testing with waters and trying it out, you can find some genuinely nice, cool girls that are just looking for a relationship with a guy who has some resources. That's what you see a lot on Seeking. And usually those girls do get into a relationship or they find, like, a sugar daddy. But it's they do enjoy having sex with them, and it's a genuine exchange for a mentorship or whatever. So what I tell my clients is if you're going to dabble in that, you know, it's really important to get sort of on-the-spot feedback, and we can go over each specific interaction, each specific girl, so you can understand how to use those sort of sites, how to not get scammed, how to not get taken. Because what will happen is the worst-case scenario is a guy falls in love with a hooker, and she just exploits him, and, you know, he thinks, oh, if I just do a little bit more, then she'll love me, and he's just chasing the dragon, right? And you want to spot these toxic, aggressive, you know, sugar babies early because they're going to be very strict. They're going to control the frame to like an unbelievable degree. They're gonna be like, we're going here, we're doing this, I want to know about the arrangement before we meet, you know, I want $500 before this meeting. And you just got to stay away from those girls. Nothing good is going to happen from even having sex with them. And I do have one client who's kind of like addicted to banging these hookers on Seeking, and that's a very real thing. Like, if you dabble in that, you can get addicted to that. And what you're really kind of addicted to is this, you know, thinking that you can kind of change one of these women into loving you. It's kind of messed up in the head. And, you know, usually involves other substances. So just be very careful on those sites. Find the girls who are new to the site and not trying to hardcore control the frame, because otherwise you're entering a world of pain.
Yeah, because you know stuff about that. I have like zero experience with that. I don't know anything about it. But I've noticed that you've been talking about this and you really know something about that.
Yeah, I've done a few different podcasts. Well, if anyone's interested more in that topic, I've done two webinars specifically on Seeking and navigating sugar baby sites and kind of the do's and don'ts. So, you know, I can link those in the episode as well.
Yeah, because I'm going to send this to my mailing list as well, and maybe someone's interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. But as far as frame control, I'm trying to think, are there any other scenarios that you feel come up? I think, you know, I really like those four questions in terms of a framework to ask yourself to know if you need to be, you know, worried about controlling the frame. I think you kind of covered it there. Are there any other scenarios you can think of where guys get it wrong a decent amount of the time?
I think we covered most of them. I think if you are...
Glad I asked.
A big one came to me. Oh my God, yes. How could I forget this? Oh my God. If a girl insists on you calling her a cab and she doesn't come out if you don't, she's there for money or for drinks or whatever. That's a very, very, very big red flag, especially in Eastern Europe, also Latin America less. I'm fine with calling her a cab if she's coming straight over to my place. If we're talking online, which is, again, not do online, but Latin America, you can dabble with that a little bit there. But yeah, big red flag. Don't call girls taxis in former Soviet Union, because it's very clear why that's happening. And then you're going to filter out sugar babies or whatnot or professionals, because they're not going to pay for their own taxi. They're not going to use public transport. But that's the last point I wanted to mention here.
Yeah, if a girl can't cover a... You know, taxi fare, public transportation is so cheap there, right? Like, if she's busting your balls over literally $5, you know, the most expensive taxi ride in Kiev is like $5.20.
Yeah.
Well, like a taxi ride, you know, you can go, I don't know, what is it, 10, 15 miles for like $5. And, you know, if she lives so far out, usually public transportation is going to get you there too. So it's just absurd to be asking for those things. Right. But what I usually do in some cases, if I like the girl, I'll give her taxi money home, because that goes a long way.
Like, oh, yeah. I have no problems with after you've slept with a girl, you know, all the kind of rules kind of become much softer. I will very typically, if a girl is going home, I will actually offer to call her a taxi, and I have no problem with that. I actually like doing that. I think it's a nice thing to do, and if it's in Latin America, it's cheap anyway, so who cares?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think if you really hit it off on the first date, maybe if you don't sleep with her, but, you know, whatever, you're making out, or you can tell that there's genuine interest there, I might still offer the cab. I just don't want guys to get too obsessed with, like, did I sleep with her? Now I can do it. Did I not? Then I can't. But it's important to have those distinctions, you know? So, you know, if...
I think those things
let's
are...
Let's go back to the... Yeah, and going back to what we said earlier, the most important thing is if you're actively out approaching and doing the work that's necessary to really transform this area of your life, you're going to get a feel for this stuff pretty quickly. And if you're in a program that allows you to get direct feedback on your dates, you're going to learn this stuff super fast. So if you join my leverage group, if you join, say, Robert's program, where you're literally asking about these specific scenarios, this is where you're going to really learn, because it's in these individual case studies where we see where it really clicks in, right? Because when we're talking about theory, it's easy to misconstrue different scenarios, like, well, does this apply to that? Does this apply to this? But when you actually have, this is a scenario, this is what happened, what should I have done? And you can get our feedback, then you're going to see that over and over and over, and you're going to know going forward. So, say, Robert, what can you tell us, guys, like, where to, anything else you want to cover? And if not, where can guys find you and learn about your stuff?
I think that I think we covered everything, and about finding my stuff, I think guys who watched it this part understand that I'm an extremely structured guy, and the way I teach day game, as you know, is like, this is what you do, these are the steps, you take them exactly like this. This is like, I'm a very extremely structured coach, so if I point them to anything, then I would say go to my YouTube channel, St. Robert Day Game, and look for the playlist, the structured natural approach. Because if guys are interested in day game, I explain everything they need to know about the day game interaction in like almost like a computer program. If this, then this. If this, then that. And everything is step by step. So guys, if you liked my structured thinking, check out that. And Robbie, thank you very much for having me, as always.
Yeah, man. Great to chat, and you're one of the leading experts in this field, so we always have great conversations. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.